Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame Detective-ing Encarta.
Detective-ing. That's hard to say.
It is, a little bit Detective-ing. Yeah.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
Did you have a tattooed on your arm yet?
No, my chest, actually.
Oh, your chest. Oh, okay. Yeah. Running out of room on your arm?
My arm is, like, completely covered in ink, yeah, at this point, so. Yep.
That's good, man. That's good.
I guess.
So, I got a question for you. What are your thoughts on teenagers?
I
mean, I don't want to be that old grumpy old man, but I'm just curious.
I mean, it's, you know, they're growing.
Yeah.
Oh, they're coming up with identities for themselves and how they view the world, I guess. But I don't know. I find a lot of them. I mean, like my niece and stuff, she's cool, but she can get really moody and stuff. And
yeah.
Oh, it is what it is. I mean, she's actually, technically, my niece is probably more intellectually mature for her age than a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Some adults, actually. So that's not really a great example. But
yeah. So are some of my nieces and nephews. They're not that I hate the world sort of thing yet, but which, I mean, we all go through it in our teens, so I have nothing against nothing against teenagers, because there were times where I would just you know didn't want to listen to anybody or anything. So I'm a DJ part-time, and I DJed a dance last night, a homecoming dance at a high school in a smaller town around where I live. And the kids looked at me. There was this one kid who looked straight at me while I was DJing like he wanted to kill me. He had that look like Damien from The Omen, like in his eyes, like he was just staring right at me like there was no soul behind his eyes. And he was like a head taller than the rest of the kids, just standing right in the middle. It was like right out of a movie. Like, then I'm just like, oh my god. And he would boo every song that we played. I tried to make an announcement at one point and I got booed.
Wow.
I was supposed to talk about a sports team and like congratulate them on something they won, and I never did all night because I got booed when I tried to do it. So
I mean, like, why even be at a dance if you're just gonna boo every song that's being played?
Yeah, the thing is it's like with DJing a dance, it's very hard because you have to listen to the people that you're trying to please are not the people that are dancing. You're trying to please the faculty of the school,
right?
Because you can't, you know, obviously you can't play anything risque, and I didn't want to anyways. And it's like, and that's all the kids wanted to hear. The first request we had was some sweet and innocent looking girl comes up to me and asks, can you play the song Pound Town?
Okay.
I looked up the lyrics to that song, and there was no way in hell I was playing that at a school dance. I mean, more power to whatever the song is, I don't know. But I looked up the lyrics and it was like a bad word every third word or something. And I'm like, I'm betting anything she got like dared to do that or something.
Or
thought it would be funny.
Or the TikTokification of kids who they learn shit way too fast. Their parents just kind of let the bones raise them. That's a whole other thing.
And the song Pound Town is not about the equivalent to Dollar Tree that is in Great Britain.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, yeah, it's a British song, like, you know, dime store, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if it was a song about going to the pound store and buying things, that'd be fine, but no.
It's like a song about, like, Russell Brand's career. It's like, now you could buy him in the Pound Town, you know?
Yeah.
Like Food Town is Pound Town. And it's like, yeah, you could go buy the CD of Russell Brand for like 50 cents.
Yeah, because that is actually a chain in Great Britain. It's called Pound Town.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'm not even making that up.
Hilarious.
It's basically like their version of the Dollar Tree. So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And
yeah, and so yeah, but anyways, it started to get better as the night went on, but it was just like, I've never done a dance before, so it was just kind of fun. And I thought I'd share this with our audience because, you know, in case you ever do it, or if you're anybody listening that's a DJ and you want to DJ a school dance, just be prepared for like them to be just standing around in a circle and looking like they're about to sacrifice a baby, and like, you know, teenage Damien staring right at you the whole time.
God damn, why I bet you his parents probably forced him to go. It's probably what it was.
Well, he was like one of these, like, he looks like one of these, like, probably like cool jock kids or something, mm-hmm. who, because he had a date, she was standing next to him. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just like, but he just like, I think he was just trying to be the cool kid who didn't, you know, because when you're a teen, you know, you can be that cool kid who, you know, anything in the world that is supposed to be good, I don't like, you know.
Yeah, just anything that is popular is bad, you know, type of thing. Yeah, and like, I know that type, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
No.
But the principal was a cool guy, and I think he was younger than me, which made me feel old. And, he was like, he's like this cool laid back guy. He's not like, you know, like Feeny from Boy Meets World or Belding from Saved by the Bell or something. He was just like a, you know, like, cool laid back guy. So anyways, but on to what we're speaking of, cool laid back guys, I guess. Russell really? Peters.
Sure, yeah.
He's a guy.
He is.
He's kind of cool and laid back, I guess, in his own way. Sure. Anyways, we're covering a show today called, it's a Canadian television show called The Indian Detective, which lasted for 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to cover the pilot here, which was just called episode number 101.1. So.
Oh, really? Didn't he have a title? Wow.
No.
I didn't pay attention to that part. And then,
yeah. So it's a, like I said, a Canadian show. It stars Russell Peters, the stand-up comic, who's actually one of the most, like, I guess, the richest stand-up comics in the world, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it stars him and Anupam Kher and Christina Cole, among other people. It was written by Frank Spotnitz, Smita, Bhide. How would you pronounce that? Bhide?
I'm not sure.
Bhide, something like that. And
yeah, I'm not sure.
Luciano Casmurri. Okay, so I'm sorry if I butchered any of those names. Anyways, what were your initial thoughts of this 45-minute episode?
I was bored throughout pretty much all of it.
Me too.
I mean, it was just, felt like nothing really happened in it. It was just, I don't know, the jokes fell flat to me. Like I was telling you last night, it felt like they were holding back almost. Like they were like trying to be like sort of milquetoast comedy. But like that could be funny in its own way if you do it right. But I don't think they did it right.
Like they were going for this like fish out of water thing because most of the episode takes place in Mumbai, and he's a Canadian of Indian descent who goes there to visit his father and stuff. But it's like, it was kind of a fish out of water because he grew up in Canada and didn't, you know, doesn't really know India that well. But they didn't play up that enough. They also, he's also a police detective, so it's kind of like a police procedural, and it's trying to be a comedy, and there's kind of like a romance going on. It's just, it doesn't really know, it's taking like too many roads to get to where it wants to go, and it doesn't seem to be getting there.
Yeah. It was like 7 different, it was like 7 different plots all at once, or at least stories all at once, and was like 45 minutes. I don't know, man. It was one of those shows where it wasn't even bad enough to like make fun of. I was just bored watching it last night. I was actually, at one point, I was thinking of like, I'm going to have to watch this show in like bits and pieces until I could finish it. But I eventually got to the halfway point. I was like, okay, well, I could stop at the halfway point. Maybe I could watch the remaining half later, but I eventually just ended up watching it.
There's one point I paused it and I was like, how much is left in this episode? And then it was like 23 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I know Russell Pierce is a very successful comedian. I haven't really watched much of his stand-up. I think I've watched one clip of his that was supposed to be like one of his most like well-known, you know, routines or whatever. That was like 7 years ago. I don't remember much about what that clip was. I think he's kind of like, what's weird about this, because I'm repeating the phrase I think a million times.
I think you are repeating it.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, you're right. Yes. Now I gotta say it again. I think that Russell Peters was kind of like Bob Saget, where like his routine is more risque than the actual TV shows he was in. So I think this show might be like, was kind of hard for him maybe, because there's nothing like that, at least in the first episode. And I'm not going to watch the remaining three. I'm at the Marc Maron stage of my life now, because I'm going to be 40 soon. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to die watching that show. Like, you know, like I've only got so much time, right? Like, I don't want to look at this album if it's going to suck. Like, you know,
I'm the same way. I start out watching a TV show and I'm like, if I don't like it, like 5 or 10 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, I'm done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you earlier about me watching Fear the Walking Dead. I'm like, I'm not going to watch the rest of this. Like, I can't. I'm like, episode 7 of season 5, and they've been spending like the last 5 episodes trying to rebuild a plane so they can pick everyone else out from the group and like go home. And it's like, do you really need to draw this out for 5 episodes? Like, tell me you don't really have a plot without telling me you don't have a plot.
When you're actually showing how you do everything, it's like, it's no longer a TV show. It's more like a home improvement show or something, you know?
It's like a tutorial on how to fix a plane. Yeah. I wanted to go to take a class at a college for that or something. You know, then I could learn how to actually build a plane or fix one, you know?
It's like, you're really invested in this action adventure show, and all of a sudden it becomes a master class.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah.
I don't know. I just did not like it. I was just bored to tears almost at some point, because it was just, even like when they showed like India, it felt like everything was like claustrophobic, almost like they were using like a set. Like it didn't even feel like.
I looked it up and they filmed some of it in India, but some of it in, I think, South Africa.
Okay.
To stand in for India.
So they probably had like Indian actors who live in South Africa, probably.
Yeah, the main female actress in this is... She's from India, but she lives in South Africa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, I think there's like, isn't there a large Indian community in there? Because wasn't Gandhi living for a while, I think?
Yeah. But still, it's like, you know, if you're going to, I don't know, it's just weird to me. I mean, I know there's certain circumstances where you can't film in the actual place, but when your show is called the Indian Detective and the premise of the show is actually going to India, you should probably film most of it there.
You should, yeah, and I know this show, you know, this other show is, you know, controversial, but I loved it personally. I thought it was a great show. It was kind of outsourced.
Oh yeah,
I know that there was like some racist humor and stuff in that, but like, I'm not going to be apologetic. I love the show. I think it's great. I thought it was very funny, well done. You know, I don't know if it was filmed in India, but sometimes it looked very cool the way they shot things.
I'm pretty sure they shot it in California, but still.
The
movie that it's based on is amazing, though.
Oh, the movies is a totally different feel.
Different feel to it, but it's such a good movie. Probably
it's
one of the best like romantic comedies I've ever seen.
Maybe we can review that and the show sometime and compare.
Yeah, we'll like review that in the pilot or something.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a show I'd rather be talking about than this.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, yeah, there's a lot of shows I'd rather be talking about. But we can't because of the actors.
Right? We got weeded out. Yeah, I mean, the writer strike ended, so...
Yeah, and they are negotiating currently, so hopefully by the time this is over, we'll have that. But anyways, do you want to talk about what happens in this episode a little bit, or...
Or just
give them more of a review and then call it quits here for tonight?
We just do like a review slash... Well, how do you do a review without really saying what happened?
Review is more like, you know, okay, so basically I can break down a little bit what happens. Like,
sure.
Okay, so you've got this like kind of dimwitted cop in Canada, played by Russell Peters. Not really dimwitted, but kind of like a, you know, he could have been. I mean, the thing is they were going for your whole, like, you know, he's a guy that doesn't play by the rules sort of thing, like, you know, like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon or something. You know what I mean? But they didn't go far enough with him, or kind of like a, you know, or like I would have liked to see him more like Andy Samberg's character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something. More of a, you know, a kind of a goof off, but he is actually intelligent, you know. But they just didn't, you know, his character wasn't defined enough. That's another criticism of the show. So he's like in an interrogation room. We don't know who's interrogating him or why. And he's telling the story. And first he's got like this, he thinks this big bust of like heroin in a truck, but they open up the truck and it's actually just a bunch of kids' bicycles in there. And so then he gets demoted and is put on suspension for, what was it, like a month or 2 months or something?
Yeah, with the months.
Yeah. And his partner, who he has a little crush on, sort of, she was given a suspension for a week, but not demoted. And she's dating an Italian officer there or something.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like I had two storylines going on, and it's like, I don't know. It just, I'm fine with that, but it's still like, you know, like it they didn't develop any of the characters well enough for me to care.
Yeah, like this whole thing with his little crush and his partner, it was just, you know, it just fell flat. It was like, oh,
and then you feel like he's having kind of a crush on the girl when he gets to Mumbai.
Yeah, someone he just met, like, yeah, 12 hours.
Yeah,
ago,
someone who's like 20 years younger than him. But
I mean, I wasn't really paying. I don't know. It just,
no, I looked her up and then I looked up, I saw her age and then I looked up his age and I'm like, and I think in real life there she's like at least 15 or 20 years younger than him, so
yeah,
I
mean, he's
which
like,
is fine, but still
they always do stuff like this, especially 2017. And plus too, the whole thing was like, he's like, yeah, she's really pretty and a stupid, well, that's the other thing too, there's like these, he narrates a lot.
Yeah,
there's a lot of narration going on in the show, which I thought was not very good either.
That's another thing too. They tell you, and I mean, it's fine. Like, I mean, you can use narration and it's good. And I mean, sometimes it works, like on The Wonder Years or in, you know, even though I'm not a big fan of it, like in A Christmas Story or something like that, where you have narration from somebody in the future talking about the past, or even like in How I Met Your Mother or something, where you've got good narration that tells the story as it's going along. But a lot of times they say when you're writing something, if you're relying too much on a narration, that means you can't write well. And I don't want to say anything bad about the writers of the show. There's a lot of things that go into it, but it's like, it's usually a crutch that you use. I mean, I've used it in some things I've written, but it's a learning thing. But you know, it's one of those things like where in film you're supposed to show and not tell,
right? Yeah,
so exactly. because it's a visual medium, and if you know, because there's a lot of TV shows, like, I mean, it happens especially a lot like in like soap operas and stuff like that, because you got to keep people interested daily, where you basically say like, oh, you know, George is having an affair with Sally, and then you'll go in the next day of the episode and then you'll say the same things but in a different way,
right?
Because you don't want the people to forget what's going on. But the thing is, it's like in a movie that's really well made, you show George having the affair with Sally, you don't talk about George having the affair with Sally so much, you know.
Yeah,
soap operas do both, but still, it's like you don't want to just but sometimes it's like, oh man, did you hear about that big pile up on I-75? And then people just spend like 5 minutes talking about the pile up on I-75 instead of actually just showing the pile.
That's the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
just like, what the hell? Yeah. So
like, it's like just like a water cooler conversation, but that's all you're seeing on the actual screen.
Yeah.
Is water cooler conversation. Like, okay. And just call it the water cooler, make that be the whole movie, I guess. And then
well, I guess The Office worked, so we might as well just have
yeah, well, that's different.
Spin off where it's just the water cooler at The Office.
Yes, that's all it is. This show, though, I don't know.
So anyways, he ends up getting demoted. His dad is taken to the hospital, supposedly, and he goes to India to visit his dad, who is bald but wears a really bad wig.
And they make that joke a million times.
Yeah, somehow that's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm not saying that just because I'm a bald man, but still.
No, but it's just like,
yeah,
when you tell the joke over and over again, it's like,
yeah,
okay, we did it. Like, he wants to have hair, cool. Yeah. Like, go buy some Propecia or some shit. I don't know. You know, there's something there that might work a little bit, but he's a I heard the guy's like a famous Indian actor.
Though. Is he?
Like, I think so. I mean, I don't know much about Indian cinema.
Anupam Kher. He's a renowned Indian actor who has worked extensively in the Indian film industry as well as the internet, international films and television. Known for his versatile acting and portrayed a wide range of characters. And that's the other thing. He's only 15 years older than Russell Peters.
Oh, wow. So he's got a little bit more, probably more rough going than Russell.
Yeah.
Not, like, you don't know that, but like, I'm just, man, so sorry. I'm being impatient here.
Yeah. Anyway, so he goes there. We get this like narration a little bit about different people and stuff like that. And we see William Shatner for 1 second.
Yep.
As I'm thinking like a big bad guy that we are going to meet in a future episode, but we're not going to, cause I'm not watching him.
But I watched. Some like building this guy wants to build, like really tall building or something, or something like that. I don't know exactly why, but anyways,
while they're in India, this like guy leading like people doing yoga or something, or what is that? I don't even know, or like meditating.
Swami, he's a religious leader.
Swami, yeah. He's like poisoned in his tea that he drinks, and this guy who is accused of it, and they basically spend the time trying to solve it, him and this pretty girl that lives above his dad in the building that he lives in.
She's like his defense lawyer,
or
something like that, thinks he's innocent. And then suddenly Russell Peters decides that he's going to help because he immediately has a crush on this woman that he just met like 2 seconds ago. He was in prison himself or jail himself because some kid stole his wallet when he went out to buy street food in the middle of the night. And that was a dumb scene, too, where it was like.
And she saw him there and she recognized him from the pictures of that his father said, and his father would talk him up, even though he thought that his father didn't really appreciate him, but he would make up things too. They were saying he was a detective when he wasn't.
He wasn't a real, and then also, what was it, Order of Canada reward or award or something like that, which is like for like extreme valor or something like that. And then
it's basically like the equivalent of being a knight in Great Britain. So,
some kid stole his wallet when he was buying street food. Food looks really good. That's one of the things, like, if I ever do get a chance to, like, travel, like, I'm just going to, like, probably eat nothing but street food, like, just because it looks fucking fantastic. But, like, some kid steals his wallet. He goes to the police station. The cop is not interested in it because she's watching some TV show. So she takes a kid and just pushes him out of the office because she doesn't want to deal with it. Doug, a.k.a. Russell Peters. Well, rather, Russell Peters, a.k.a. Doug. Turns off the TV, and then she puts him in a jail cell. We've seen that a million times in like 1,000 different shows. And then that's when the lawyer sees him, and then she basically bails him out, I guess, or something. And then he decides to help her proclaim this guy's innocence. We find out that this woman's this wife of this rich guy who was a follower of the Swami, he was giving away all of his fortune to the Swami into the cause bit by bit, and she was worried that he was not going to leave anything for his children, so she poisoned the Swami and then paid the tea seller that claimed that he did it so that, you know, he could basically pay for his daughters to have an education. There you go again with the exposition, where like there's this whole thing where like,
you know, they explained it all, but they didn't show it.
We can't afford to go to school, so we teach ourselves. And it's like, oh, okay. That's sad. And then they're like, he's like, what's that? It's like, it's okay. We're praying. And he's like, who's that? And it's like, that's Saraswati. And he's like, who's that? And it's like, that's the goddess of knowledge. And it's just like, okay. Like, it was almost
it's sad because it's probably true. And this type of thing probably does happen to people.
Oh, sure.
But like, it's just like, And I mean, I think it's good for a show to have representation in it like this, where you see Indian people that you don't see as much in like North American television or Western television in general. But it's like I just wish it was better.
Yeah, I mean, the only scene I liked really, I think, was when he was it was like the first scene when he thought he was gonna do this really big drug bust, and it turned out that was just a bunch of bicycles. So he was trying to like take apart the bicycles to see if there was any like heroin inside of it. And then like the American border cop, you know, took a picture of him looking stupid, like making a fool of himself, basically. And that was like that gave me like a very small chuckle.
Yeah, and I mean, The thing is I think that it could have pushed it a little more, like gone over the top more to make it funnier and to make more sense as to why he got demoted.
Yeah, because like that wasn't that big of a deal, really. No. I mean, okay, you got a wrong lead. It's not enough to get demoted. But we do find out near the end, because there's this guy who kept popping up in an episode smoking a cigarette, and he had a matchbook, and it had like this like symbol on it. And then
there was graffiti. And then
he realized, oh, that same symbol was painted inside the truck with the bicycles back in Canada. And I'm thinking to myself, how convenient is that you would paint a symbol essentially letting people know that you're part of like a drug cartel? Like, what, you just trying to get noticed?
The symbol is just basically like the devil's like trident or whatever that he has, that he holds, you know, like the devil's pitchfork. And it's
could be Shiva's. I think Shiva has a trident too.
But. Yeah, but either way, it's not that uncommon of a symbol either.
Yeah, it's not.
So I mean, it's like finding a peace sign. Oh my God, I found a peace sign on this matchbook, and now there's a peace sign on the side of this bus over here. So that means they're connected. You know, like.
Yeah, and what are the chances too that his father just happens to live in the building right next to where this guy hangs out?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the chances of, I mean, going across the world into a foreign... India's a huge country. It's got a lot of land mass. It's got a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, like, just the chances...
Well, it has, like, the highest population in the world or something, so it's, like...
It's pretty high. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of land, too. I mean, I know on the maps and stuff like that, especially Western maps, it makes it look like it's pretty small. Like, no, it's a lot of land. And I mean, probably several of our states in just one country.
Even if you had like some kind of thing that it's just funny that, you know, to basically just randomly, I mean, it happens all the time in movies and TV shows though, where something it's like completely would never happen in the real world, where it's like, oh, I solved this crime because there was this symbol on this building, and then, you know, or this, I mean, this truck or whatever, and then, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's so far-fetched, but it can be done in a way that makes it entertaining, but they just didn't quite get it here.
Yeah, they kept making these dumb fat jokes too. He's like, yeah, you know, I could probably afford to skip a meal or two, right? But I wanted to get some street food. It's like, do we really need that line in the movie? I mean, the show? Like,
yeah, I mean, I know really? it's self-deprecating, but it's still, you know.
Stupid, because it's like, okay, we get it. But that's the other thing too. Like, so people who aren't fat aren't going to go like in the middle of the night buy street food. Where if I was skinny and right outside my bedroom, I'm hearing people literally cook food outside, I can hear the grill sizzling, and it's the middle of the night and I'm hungry, I'm not gonna be like, oh, I'm skinny, therefore I'm not gonna go out and buy street food. Like,
well, I mean, it's bad enough, like, on, you know, when somebody's having a barbecue in their backyard that's like in your neighborhood, you smell that and you're like, oh, I gotta make a burger or something, you know.
That's what I'm saying, that's just one person doing that,
yeah,
let alone like 15 vendors, mm-hmm. all of them cooking different things, and then you feel like you gotta sample everything, which then I guess that would make you fat eventually, because, you know, you can't just buy one thing at that point, because you're like, oh, well, I gotta buy.
Well, it's just like if you go to like a county fair or something, and you're walking around and you're smelling the food, you want to buy it, even if you're not hungry. It's
like, I bet you the more you get used to it, you probably can have discipline.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I used to work county fairs, and it was okay, but I still, like, you know. But for the week it was in town, so it wasn't like, you know.
It wasn't like a regular thing. I don't know why I keep saying on street food.
It's the most entertaining character in the.
It was because it looked cool, and it had a lot of people hanging out. There was a lot of activity going on. It was actually something happening in the show, you know, that resembled like a show. Like, oh, there's actually people here. It's not just a narrator talking about what happened.
Yeah.
And then people doing exposition about what happened in the show itself. And then someone having to narrate about the people doing the exposition. It's like, and this is the part where the girl said that they can't afford school. Yeah, I know. They just said that. Like, what are you talking about? And whatever.
Yeah, I'm reading over a review of the episode, and it says Priya, the I don't know if that's the character's name or the actress's name that plays the
I think it's the character's name. Yeah.
knows all about Peter's because his father talks about him all of the time. Priya explains only he can help her, despite the fact that he can't speak Hindi or any other Indian language, that he knows little about the local culture. He is the only person who can help her save an innocent man. You know, it's like...
Yeah, the other thing too is like, yeah, exactly. And there's this other thing too where, you know, talk about how he's kind of like a little bit removed from like Indian culture because like he's a Roman Catholic. And it's like, that was like the only time they mentioned that. And that was, and like throughout the whole episode, there's no indication at all that he's like religious, like at all. And yeah. So it's like, and that it's okay if you're not like super religious, I get that. But usually when someone verts to a religion, they're like tend to be more like devout. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't make sense for someone who's maybe raised Hindu convert to Roman Catholicism and then not be that devout, like because you had to leave one thing to join something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so...
Well, the thing is, sometimes people are devout when they first...
Well, you know, true. I mean, yeah, I guess. But yeah. I guess they just said that to kind of...
I mean, putting it in there just to kind of give him some sort of character, it does add...
And plus, too, it's kind of a little bit ignorant about Indian culture as well, because they're like, oh, you get it? He's a Roman Catholic, so he's not really Indian. I'm like, there are Christians in India, including Catholics, like... Yeah. It's not like everyone's Hindu over there. There's also a lot of Muslims.
Yeah, there's a lot of Muslims. Yeah,
there's a few Baha'is, and you know, yeah. There's Christians.
It's actually like the largest population of Baha'is.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, but I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to say that he's like separated a little bit from his heritage because of, you know, like they really could have just done that with the Canadian thing and him not speaking any Hindi. That would have been enough. They didn't need to like add on that he's a Roman Catholic. Therefore, that means he's not
the show was basically overwritten and underwritten.
Yeah, it's like it's almost impressive, you know, in its own way to do that. I don't know. Yeah. But like I said, I'm not going to watch the remaining three episodes.
Either. But we basically went through the plot, so that was basically it, folks. And
yeah. And the tea seller was innocent, and then they went and imprisoned the lady who killed, you know, or poisoned the swami.
Yeah.
And then the rich guy now doesn't have a wife, I guess, or not.
And then they were setting something up with him for the future episodes that I'll never find out what happens, and I don't care.
Yeah, so. You got the William Shatner dude doing something. They're trying to imply too that he was like some hardcore racist because he didn't want to shake the Indian guy's hand at first or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it was just okay. A lot of Netflix shows are like that, unfortunately. I think Netflix.
Well,
probably.
I mean, this was produced by CTV though, so in Canada. So it's on Netflix, but it's not. I don't think it. I don't know if they co-produced it or anything, but I'm pretty sure it was a CTV show.
You're right. I looked it up. It was. Yeah. That's the other thing too. There's some good Canadian shows like Little Mosque on the Prairie. I like that one a lot. But some of the shows, you know, I mean, there's a lot of American shows that are pretty bad too.
Yeah.
I would not recommend it personally. That's my vote.
Well, you know what? Are you registered?
Yeah, I'm registered to vote.
For whether a show is good or bad?
Oh, no, I'm not registered for that.
Well, then you don't get a vote then. If you're not registered, you should vote.
Yep, register for that. Okay.
You can't vote if you're not registered.
How do I register to vote on whether or not a show is good?
Do you want to be registered?
Not really.
Then you can't vote.
All right, I won't vote then. Okay. I'll just express my opinion that I do not recommend it.
No, you're not allowed to unless you have an opinion card.
No, I'm allowed to express my opinion.
Do you have an opinion card?
No, I don't need an opinion card. That's not how that works. It's like if you vote for a politician, you know, or if you don't vote for a politician, you can still say you don't like that politician. Just can't vote.
No, you've got to have a I don't like that politician card.
Oh, well, you know what? I think, you know, I need to be formally deprogrammed like Hillary Clinton. I'm called the Trump voter. What an idiot. Like, the shit she says, like, I mean, like, it's not like I totally disagree with her, but, like, you can't say something like that. Like, when people are just, like, waiting for, like, the bomb to drop, and they're like, she said it. She wants to deprogram us. Like, you know, it's like, oh, my God, like, perpetual foot and mouth disease. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So, anyways, I'll let you have an opinion, and you can vote on if it's good or not. Because I'm gonna vote that it's not good.
We got two votes for not good, zero. Well, yeah. Our listeners can vote on whether or not they like
it. Send us your vote to mike@cullenpark.com. That's MIKE, the little at symbol, you know, that I really have a hard time drawing.
It's a little bit, it's hard.
That C-U-L-L-E-N-P-A-R-K, that little period, C-O-M. Yeah. So.
C-O-M.
Yes. Right? So send us your vote there. Let us know, and maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode. Let us know your opinion. Yeah, and yeah. We might talk about it in a future episode. But any other final thoughts here before we wrap up this episode?
No, not really.
Me either. So anyways, folks, be sure to check out our social media, our TikTok, our ZigZag, and our ZugZug, and our ZigZag. That one's my favorite. Yeah. Wait, no. Check out our Facebook, our X, formerly known as Twitter, which I'm getting rid of soon. Check out...
Yeah, it's annoying.
Check out our Instagram. Gonna hopefully be putting up some newer content soon on both of those. We got a YouTube as well. We got a Patreon. Check out our Patreon. You can help us out. Check out our TeePublic. That's a good way to help us out. And the best way to help us out is to share the show with your friends. Tell people to listen. Find your favorite episode of the show and just send it, like text it to a friend or an enemy. I don't care.
Enemy.
Yeah.
Well, then you might want to find the worst episode of our show that you don't like.
Well, no, actually, just send them a good episode because, I mean, I'd like that. And, you know, give us a 5-star review and we may read it on a future show.
For me, personally, my favorite of our episode is Sleepover, which is one of our worst tracking episodes.
But that's okay. But, it's a good episode.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. I don't think I have a favorite episode, but I'll think about it and let you know in a future episode. It might be this episode. I highly doubt it. But
probably not.
But anyways, if you're in high school and you go to a dance, don't be a jerk. And but still remember that even if you are, I love you. Sesame loves you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.